What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Joining us to discuss the shenanigans are Brian Hofer, Executive Director of Secure Justice, a nonprofit that advocates against state abuse of power and reduction in government and corporate overreach. He's also been he was also the chair of Oakland's Privacy Advisory Commission from 2016 to 2025, right? Last year was your last year, is that right?
Yep.
We got to update your bio. And Chaney Turner, the Integrated Voter Engagement Director with Oakland Rising Action and elected member of the Alameda County Democratic Central Committee for District 18. Good morning, Chaney.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, we showed on time and long on stuff to discuss. I want to start with the Public Safety Committee, and I don't know if you all heard my intro. I want to talk about bad legislation and bad behavior, and I'm going to try to combine the two. I want to start with Public Safety Committee vote in November, which is where the committee voted no on the Flock proposal after hundreds of people said we don't want mass surveillance in the city of Oakland, which would allow and later did allow, we're going to get to that, a $2.25 million contract for mass surveillance of Oaklanders through the Flock network. I want to play this tape, though, because the no vote didn't happen due to the moral compass of the committee, with the exception of District 3 Councilmember Carol Fife. It was defeated because Ken Houston told on himself. Let's roll the tape.
Are you accepting the amendments that Councilmember Wang has uplifted as a part of
it? What I wanted to do is just move it to the full council so we can all speak on it and talk. And if they, because I like to move it the way it is and just see what the full council wants.
I think it's our job to hash it out here in committee, Councilmember Houston. I would rather do that. So do you accept?
So let me just share this. It's going to be hashed out no matter what, because if we got 3 votes to 1, this is not for it. It's going to be a non-consent anyway.
So are you denying the amendment?
Give me a few minutes. Let me just write something down. Give me a second. I don't like to make any quick decisions. I'll go with your, I don't want to step on your toes. This is you chair this and I wouldn't want no one stepping on mine. So I'll, with your amendments, we can move it.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Houston.
All right, so that was from the November Public Safety City Council meeting on the Flock system vote. Hundreds of Oaklanders showed up, said we don't want mass surveillance in our city. And then there were amendments brought. The person he was going back and forth with his District 2 Councilmember Charlene Wang. Now, Brian Hofer, you point out for us the problem with Councilmember Houston's statement that we have 3 votes to 1.
Yeah, seems to be following his pattern on multiple votes, multiple meetings since he's been in office of apparently violating the Brown Act, which says you can't coordinate ahead of time out of public scrutiny, to take a certain position on a vote. And so by saying 3-1, that's a majority. How did you determine that before the meeting happened? And he's already been censored once by the city attorney in writing. And I think this is an ongoing problem that obviously needs stronger, aggressive disciplinary action.
And what you all can't hear is when he said that City Councilmember Rowena Brown literally covered her face and put her head down, right? Like it was, so he told on himself verbally, she told on herself physically. And then because Wang and Brown apparently have more sense than he does, right? That's how we ended up with a no vote there. But then Brian Hofer explained to us, because even I don't really understand, I just know it wasn't right, how Jenkins and Houston then, even though defeated in committee, managed to get this vote to full council. What happened?
Yeah. Well, they basically broke more laws on the way to breaking more laws. We are presently litigating this issue. So at the Rules Committee, there are 4 members. That is the maximum number of elected officials that can participate at a committee level discussion. All 4 members were present. Ken Houston shows up. And It was clear he was going to speak. He wanted to speak. And Council President Jenkins basically acknowledged the violation right away. He goes, "Are you here to participate?" And when Ken Houston said yes, Kevin immediately and unlawfully, in violation of both state law and Oakland ordinance, called a special meeting without meeting the special meeting criteria. So that entire vote to send Flock to the council is void. It's going to be in our amended petition, which is going to be filed any day now as part of our existing lawsuit on Flock and many other pieces. And so we are challenging that this action is unlawful. It could not have occurred.
Thank you, Brian Hofer. I've been waiting all break to have this conversation with you. Cheney Turner is a political operative in the what district you in? I know you in the East. You be repping the East tough. Which one? Houston or Jenkins? Which one of the fools is your council person?
I live in District 7. I'm actually a District 7 native. I'm from here.
Okay, well then, great. That sets me up for another question. You from here? Because apparently, unless you from here, you can't talk to Ken Houston. But we're gonna get to that in a minute. As a political operative in the city, as an East Oakland resident that Houston reps so tough. How does, and we've been on the streets together for a really long time. How does this behavior impact you both as an organizer, but also as an Oaklander?
You know, Kat, it's really frustrating, especially as an Oaklander and someone who lives in District 7 and is from this district. One of the things that Houston continues to say is that his behavior is supported by the districts, by this residents in this district, and that's what they want. But as someone who, like I said, is a native and is actively in communication with my neighbors, he does not represent us. His behavior is unacceptable. It's very ignorant, and it's not representative of District 7 or just Oaklanders overall. The tactics, the bullying, it's not what we're here for.
I've been trying to look for the oath that city council members have to take when they're sworn in. I can't find it, but maybe Brian, you were chanting something. Ken Houston recently stated after he flipped off constituents, as they were pointing out that actually only 6,000 people in his district voted for him.
Actually, less than that. It was about close to 3,400. Voter turnout. So he did not receive 6,000. The voter turnout in District 7 was less than 15%.
Abysmally low. Okay, so 3,400 people voted for him. So Councilmember Houston then said that the only people that he's responsible to are District 7 people who voted for him. What is the actual oath that you take when you join city council in terms of your representation of the city? Are you only responsible to the people that cast votes for you?
No, you know, he's a citywide agent. I appreciate that he has a healthy desire, voicing his frustrations in a decorum that is not becoming of an elected official. But he's, you know, I think he does genuinely care about D7. But you are using citywide tax money. He's also working on citywide policies. I would maybe actually defer to him a smidge if he was just dealing with something in D7. But he's trying to make encampment policies for an entire city. He's trying to, you know, spread surveillance networks all over entire city. So to say that no one else can have a say or a vote when we're all going to be impacted by that, that's just nonsense. And he does need to work with his colleagues. You know, it takes an entire council to run the city of Oakland, and this combative, divisive persona that he's tried to create is obviously toxic. I mean, everyone in the town is talking about it, and it's not a good look for us. I think it embarrasses us on a national stage.
It's very embarrassing. And he says that he represents the constituents of District 7, but majority of people that came out in support of a Flock are not District 7 residents. It's being led by people that don't live here. And the coalition that he's working closely with represents majority District 4 residents, which is important. And so When you're saying you're speaking for District 7, you're not. You're representing more wealthier and white constituents in Oakland.
Brandhofer, you brought up, thank you, Chaney Turner. Brandhofer, you brought up the homeless abatement policy, which I think, you know, I'm tracking this in real time, but again, I'm leaning on you for your expertise, was another place where we potentially saw a violation of the Brown Act when we saw Chief of Staff for Kevin Jenkins, Patricia Brooks, working very closely with Councilmember Houston to draft this policy. Well, Kevin Jenkins said, I had no idea this was happening. That would be like me saying, I don't know what my right hand in an organization is doing. Can you explain what maybe we should be paying attention to there?
Yeah, I mean, that was the censor incident that I referenced earlier. Our city attorney caught wind of that Kevin's chief was going between every single office with Ken and coordinating on this policy prior to the public vetting of it. It is black and white, the easiest violation to describe. The very first thing he would have learned in his orientation, which I've also heard, maybe he didn't actually go through some of that training at the beginning, like most elected officials are supposed to do. Thankfully, on that instance, Ryan Richardson did write the letter and say, you guys violated the law. Unfortunately, as we usually see at City Hall, zero consequences have occurred. Both Ryan and Kevin have allowed that behavior to continue. And so that's why we're litigating some of this stuff, and we're just going to try to shut it down, these violations.
Well, I mean, I'll just say, Keith, because I can, and I don't do, everybody knows, I just say what I want to say on the air, as long as they don't violate the FCC. They homies. They are spotted in bars drinking together. They are kicking it, and they are running an agenda that I assert is supported by and including of D2, Wang, All City, Brown, and D4, Ramachandran. Chaney Turner, two-part question, and I'm clocked in time. Two-part question. As an organizer, how are you talking to the people about what is happening at City Council? There's an election coming up. How are you having these conversations and this year? And then for both of you, and this will be the closing sort of question, but Chaney, you go, and then Brian, you'll have less words. What is the responsibility of the rest of council to address these behaviors? What is the leadership that you are looking for that is deserving of a great city, I'll say, like Oakland, California? Chaney, you first.
Well, you know, majority of our city council, unfortunately, is against their constituents, voting against the favor of their constituents and in favor of special interest groups, right? Backed by corporate real estate and police packs. This continues going on. As an organizer, what I'm doing is educating community. The public needs to know, for one, why their representatives are voting in the way they're voting for. And who is supporting. And so the more education we do around quote unquote dark money in politics and outside money coming in to campaign contributions, people are starting to see, especially after the special election that we had last year in April and all of the AstroTurf money. And it was very blatant in the last on this December 16th meeting. None of our council members, with the exception of Council Member Fife, listened to community. You had Ken Houston, who ate his lunch in the diocese during the meeting, flipping people off, telling constituents to shut up. And the silence from council and the silence from the mayor around this is very loud. Where's the accountability? There's no transparency. Council continue to move things along the agenda under the radar, changing the hours of rules meetings to where working class and people of color can't come and exercise their democratic rights by speaking at public meetings. And so we are organizing. We're organizing our community and letting them know what's happening. And people are not happy. And folks should know, especially those council members who have an election coming up this year, that their constituents that they're supposed to represent needs aren't being met. And are you doing this work for the people who have the power to vote you in, or the people who have the dollars, right, to run a recall and move you out? So we as a community need to demand more from leadership, from our council, and also, you know, from our mayor to speak up against these things. Are they going to allow a sitting representative to blatantly disrespect us? And people are tired, and there are things being done to address those issues.
Thank you, Cheney Turner. Brian Hofer.
Yeah, I'm really glad Cheney brought up those points. You know, I think it highlights this overall war on the public. The special meetings, the short notices, the odd hours that are bad for working people, like Cheney said, changing the rules about public comment, switching agenda items at the last second. So the people that might oppose something aren't in the audience at the time the item is called. It's clear that there's this desire to disenfranchise public engagement. And I've also been pretty curious. It's like, why isn't the mayor asserting herself? You know, it's this war on the police commission, war on the privacy commission, these Brown Act violations that are clearly obscuring transparency and frustrating public engagement. People should be calling this out. You know, these violations of law also incur legal liability. There's expenses. It also just wastes administrative effort when you have to unwind these things and redo them the correct way in compliance with the law. There's a risk management concern. And this power vacuum that has allowed, you know, especially Council President Jenkins to take City Hall in this direction and use Ken Houston to do so. It's pretty obvious to anybody paying attention to City Hall, and the Oakland voters need to be educated and informed on why these things are harmful to their own interests.
Sorry, I was going to let you go. One more thing. I'm actually just knocking my last segment, and I'll do that on Monday. There's an upcoming vote, and both you can comment on this or explain it. Am I correct? There's an upcoming vote to change, I think you alluded to this, Brian, to change what time city council mm-hmm. meetings around certain issues happen. Can one of you elaborate on that and talk about when the vote is?
The vote has happened. It's already passed, unfortunately. And I think they did it purposely while we were all... It happened the same time as we were advocating FLOC. And I think they did that purposely because everybody's attention was on FLOC. And so this is the Rules Committee meeting where we come and, you know, make comment. And I believe it's at 10:30 a.m. Yeah. Who can come and make comment except for lobbyists and wealthy special interest groups? And I believe that Ramachandran is, Councilmember Ramachandran is the one who led in passing that policy. It's also important to know that they also passed a policy to increase Brian, you might want to correct me, but they were trying to pass something to increase campaign contributions, and I'm not sure if that passed or not.
That one's still under consideration, but you are correct. The rule change vote has already occurred.
Okay.
It also rearranged the consent calendar and statutory meeting notices, and what that could do and probably will do when you look at like the December 16 agenda, which was loaded. They'll throw 30 big items on the consent calendar and there'll be no discussion. We're going to not have competitive contracts. They're not going to be awarding things to minority or small-owned businesses. They're going to be doing all this nonsense based on these new rule changes.
That's my cue. Hear ye, Oakland City Council. We're going to be educating the voters in 2026. Thank you so much, Brian Hofer. Thank you so much, Cheney Turner.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.